The study for the first half of this month is on love. And tonight's message is the God kind of love. Now, in the English language that we speak, there's one word used to express affection for something or someone. There's only one word. You know, some of you will say, I love football. Others say, I love my spouse. Another person, like myself, would say, I love chocolate. Another person would say, I love my job. Others, and we all should say, I love God. But in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, there is more than one word for love. It's more detailed. There's more than one word for love in the Greek. There's phileo, which is the brotherly, friendship kind of love. Then there's eros, a physical type of love between spouses. Then there's the greatest of them, and it's called agape. I call it the God kind of love. God originated agape love. John 3:16, for God so loved, so agape the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And then John writes in 1 John 4:16 that God is love. God is agape. See, agape communicates the love which springs from admiration and veneration for God. And it also chooses its object with decision of will and has a self-denying and compassionate meaning to it. So the agape love of God is a self-sacrificing, self-denying love. It chooses to love the unlovable. Agape love is an unconditional, no strings attached love which only God can place inside of a human being by virtue of that person having Jesus Christ in their life. Let me say it again. Agape love, this unconditional, no strings attached love, can only be placed within a person by virtue of that person having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Say it with me tonight. Agape love is the God kind of love. It's that unconditional, no strings attached love. It's a self-denying love. It's a self-sacrificing love. And I want that love resident in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul the Apostle writes about this love. He describes it in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7. If you've got a Bible, you can read with me. If not, I'll read it to you. And he writes this. 1 Corinthians 13, the famous agape love chapter. He says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, or agape, I gain nothing. Love, agape, is patience. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It isn't proud. In other words, it's humble. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. In other words, the agape love of God forgives the wrongdoer. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love always protects. It always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. So the agape love of God, this unconditional, no strings attached love, as I said, loves the unlovable, those who are different than you, those who think differently than you, who smell differently than you, who dress differently than you, who look differently than you. And I think the Samaritan of Luke chapter 10 beautifully exemplified the description of agape love found in 1 Corinthians 13 that we just read in verses 1 through 7. So I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 10 and we're going to read verses 25 through 37. This Samaritan truly exemplifies the agape love of God. Luke 10, 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, now you have to understand a little bit of history here, that there were racial tensions between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews despised the Samaritans and would have no dealings with them. And let's read on here. Verse 30 of Luke chapter 10. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Most likely, this man that was beaten was a Jew. Verse 31, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Remember, as I just said, Jews despise Samaritans and would have no dealings with them. Yet it was this very person, the Samaritan, a stranger, who loved the battered Jew. The priest and the Levite being an attendant to the priest, passed right by the bleeding Jew, when their very office obliged them to tenderness and compassion. In other words, the priest and the Levite were to show tenderness and compassion to the bleeding Jew, but they passed right on by. But this Samaritan was moved by the agape love of God to relieve the suffering of the bleeding Jew. And that's what the agape love of God does. It sees the person suffering. It sees that a person is in pain. And then it does something positive, beneficial, to relieve that person of their suffering and their pain. Is that making sense here tonight? See, the love of God, the agape love of God, was deeply resident in the heart of this good Samaritan. How many would agree here tonight? You see, the Samaritan sacrificed himself. He denied himself in reaching out by reaching out to the bleeding Jew. He chose to love the Jew even though society would have forbidden interaction between the Jew and the Samaritan. So for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about the Samaritan's self-sacrificing agape love and how he was exemplifying 1 Corinthians 13. See, according to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, the Samaritan was not proud. He was humble. He was so kind to the Jew. See, what did he sacrifice in dealing with the Jew? What did this Samaritan sacrifice in reaching out with God's love to this beaten Jew? He sacrificed his good reputation amongst other Samaritans for dealing with a Jew. It didn't matter what fellow Samaritans thought, for he was humble. You see, this Samaritan kept no record of wrongs against the Jewish race. He was beautifully exemplifying the agape love of God that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13. Would you agree here tonight? And so, friend, to apply it to yourself and to myself, let me ask you this. Were you raised to discriminate against another race? Do you stay away from those who look, smell, or act differently than you? Think about it. Were you raised as a child not to deal with the other race? not to deal with another culture of people. Maybe perhaps as a youngster in an adult relationship, maybe the opposite sex violated you in some way. Maybe it was for a woman, maybe a man raped you or violated you in some way, and so you don't associate with the opposite sex. I encourage you tonight to pray that the love of God be formed in you. And God can put that agape love deep within your heart. It all starts how? By accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. The true agape love of God, this true unconditional, no strings attached love of God cannot be in your heart if Jesus Christ is not resident there. So at the end of the service here tonight, you'll have the opportunity, if you have not yet done so, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And maybe you accepted Him in the past, and maybe you got upset with somebody, maybe you got upset with God. Tonight you'll have the opportunity to re-give, to rededicate your life back to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus enters your life, it will forever change. The agape love of God will be resident in your heart, so that the feelings of discrimination or perhaps racism will leave your life, so that you can reach out and spend time with those who look differently than you, that smell differently than you, that eat different foods that you eat. Is that making sense here tonight? And it's only something that God can do within you by His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. According to 1 Corinthians 13:4, the Samaritan was patient. Paul writes that love is patient. How was he patient? Think about it. How was he patient? The Samaritan sacrificed his busy schedule. He was on his way somewhere. He had an appointment, but he was patient. He took some time out of his busy day and stopped and waited till later to get to his appointment. But first, he took care of the bleeding Jew. So he sacrificed some of his time. He sacrificed his schedule to reach out to this bleeding Jew with the agape love of the Almighty God. That's good news here tonight. Amen? Amen. So my question to you tonight is this. Can you sacrifice your schedule somewhat for the benefit of somebody else? It can only happen as you practice self-denial, even though it hurts. You know, you might be on your way somewhere. You might have an appointment. You might need to get somewhere. And maybe you see a situation, a person in need. And maybe God, by His Holy Spirit, says to you, put your schedule aside. Sacrifice your schedule. Stop to help that old lady change her flat tire. That's the agape love of God. It's called putting death to self. Pray that God would plant His compassion, His agape love on the inside of you. Say with me tonight, God, I pray that by Your Son, Jesus Christ, You would supernaturally implant Your agape love deep within my heart, Your compassion within me, that I can help relieve somebody else's suffering. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe the old lady who's struggling to carry groceries. Maybe you're on your way somewhere to downtown. Will you stop and help that person carry her bags of groceries? Is that making sense? Or maybe the single afraid woman who needs help fixing her car or changing the tire. You can do it. You might be saying tonight, well, Jonathan, you don't understand. You don't know how much in need I am. My self-esteem is so low. But remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There is somebody out there tonight who is in greater need than yourself. There is somebody out there tonight who has less than you. And with a little bit that you have, you can reach out to them with the agape love of God and help relieve their suffering. You can make that person's day with just one small act of kindness. And that person's going to say, you know what? There's something different about you. What is it that you have that I don't have? And that right there will be an open channel to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The thing I have that you want is called Jesus. Actions, a lot of times, speak louder than words. This is the gospel in action that I'm talking about tonight. Is that good news? We all need to practice it, friends. None of us is exempt from practicing the agape love of God in relation to others. According to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, the Samaritan protected the bleeding Jew. Remember, Paul writes, love always protects. He sacrificed what? He sacrificed his finances to help the bleeding Jew. He paid for him to stay at an inn and then promised the innkeeper to reimburse for any extra expense. He sacrificed his financial resources. And you listening tonight might think, well, you know what? I don't have much. But what if God asks you to give half of the little you have to buy a family in need a week's worth of groceries? Remember that God's eyes are always on you. God is watching everything that we do. God is making a record in heaven. And I assure you here tonight that if you take care of God's business, those in greater need than yourself, God will take care of your business. For whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Amen? Mother Teresa was a great missionary, full of the agape love of God, mainly to the nation of Calcutta, India, but to other places as well. I'm going to read a couple of quotes from her, Mother Teresa. And she writes this. She says, true love causes pain. Jesus, in order to give us the proof of his love, died on the cross. A mother, in order to give birth to her baby, has to suffer. If you really love one another, you will not be able to avoid making sacrifices. And remember this, friend, that when you touch that person in need, that person who's suffering, guess who you're touching ultimately? You're touching Jesus himself. He said it, for as much as you've done it to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done it for me. When you reach out with your hand, with your time to touch a hurting person, a person in pain, you are touching Jesus himself. That person is Jesus in disguise. Another thing from Mother Teresa. The lepers, the dying, the hungry, the ones sick with AIDS, they are all Jesus. One of our novices was aware of this. She had just entered the congregation after finishing her studies at the university. The next day, she was supposed to accompany another sister to help at the home for the dying in Kalagat. Before they left, I reminded them, you know where you have to go. During the Mass, notice how tenderly and lovingly the priest touches the body of Christ. Do not forget that Christ is the same Christ you touch in the poor. The two sisters left for Kalagat, and 3 hours later, they returned. One of them, the novice, knocked on my door. She told me, full of joy, Mother, I touched the body of Christ for the last 3 hours. Her face reflected her deep joy. What did you do? I asked her. Right after we arrived, she answered, they brought us a man covered with wounds. He had been picked up from the rubble. I had to help take care of his wounds. It took 3 hours. Therefore, I touched the body of Christ for 3 hours. I am sure it was him. That young novice had understood that Jesus cannot deceive us when he assures us. I was sick and you took care of me. Matthew 25. Verse 36. Amen? Amen? I pray that the love of God, the agape love of God, is formed on the inside of each and every single one of us. And remember this, whenever you do good to somebody else, you're doing good to Jesus himself. You're touching the very heart of God. And remember this also, whenever you hurt somebody else and cause pain and suffering to somebody else, you cause pain and suffering to Jesus. You're hurting the heart of God.